Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
salvation. Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see that the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, the name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Amorites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking, saying, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressing them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to one to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise from the
chapter. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For the past several weeks, our Lord Jesus has been leading us to what we celebrate today, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the Feast of Pentecost. He has been making it clear to us what the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth would do when sent in power upon the apostles. He would empower them to recall all that Jesus had taught them and take what belongs to Jesus and declare it to them, that they would be empowered to bear witness to that truth, to Him, proclaiming to the world the mighty deeds of God worked through the sending of His Son to live, die, rise, and ascend in triumph to win for us forgiveness, life, and salvation. And today, as we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, we are once again reminded of a truth that comes through time and time again in God's Word, namely that our Lord is faithful to His promises. What He says He will do, He does. He never lies. He never fails. He never makes promises He doesn't keep. He always comes through on every promise He makes. Thus is His word trustworthy and true, always. And we sinners should draw great comfort from that glorious truth, for we have often felt the sting of broken promises and betrayed trust. In fact, sinners that we have often been the ones doing the stinging, breaking our promises to others and betraying the trust they have placed in us. Who among us hasn't lied or made promises we knew we couldn't keep, or shared secrets we swore we'd never share, or gossiped and strategized behind the backs of others who had placed their trust in us? But this is only to speak of our dealings with one another. What of our promises to God? What of the vows we made to Him, the vows we witnessed our confirmands making a few weeks ago, vows, Lord willing, we'll be blessed to hear and witness Gabe and Amy make next Sunday? Have we kept them? Have we put God first in our lives? Have we come through on our promise to put hearing the Word of God and receiving the Holy Supper before everything else? Have we been faithful to our vow to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed, remain steadfast in our faith and confession and willing to suffer all, even death, rather than fall from it? And what of our promise to support the ministry and mission of our Lord's church, both at home and abroad? The church that He has called us by His grace to belong to. Have we kept that promise? Does God receive our first fruits or leftovers? Does what we put in the offering plate reflect the blessings He has bestowed upon us? Do we do so? Do we give of our offerings, not just of our money, but of our time and our talents, recognizing that everything we have is His, and that we're just giving back to Him to support His work, what already belongs to Him? And what happens if we happen to miss on a Sunday? Do we forget that the Lord's work still needs to be done? Hard questions, I know. But not all that hard to answer, if we're honest. We have all failed. We have all broken promises and betrayed trust, not only with our neighbors, but with God. There is no one righteous. No, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The all includes you and me. Repent. The truth is that we have been far more like the pride-filled and arrogant people who gathered at Babel to build a tower in order to reach the heavens and make a name for themselves. People who didn't need God, who wanted to be God themselves, to make their own way, to do their own thing, to believe whatever they wanted to believe. We've been far more like those people at Babel than like those who have had the Holy Spirit poured out upon them to prophesy about the salvation won for us and for the world by Jesus. And St. Peter, empowered by the Holy Spirit, makes this vividly clear on that first day of Pentecost during what has become known as the first sermon preached in the Christian church. We have only the beginning of that sermon in our second reading from Acts this morning, but if we continue reading, we hear St. Peter say this: "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, facing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." St. Peter minces no words. He stands before the great crowd assembled that day and filled with the Holy Spirit, accuses every single one of them, including himself and the other apostles, and including you and me and every other sinner who ever lived, of crucifying and killing Jesus, the author of life, the one sent by God to be our Savior. And the response by many to this stunning accusation was that they were cut to the heart, convicted by the Holy Spirit of their sin, and led by the same Holy Spirit to ask, "Brothers, what shall we do?" To this, the Holy Spirit speaks through St. Peter, saying, "Repent and be baptized, every single one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Notice that the Holy Spirit doesn't answer the question, "Brothers, what shall we do?" by saying, "Well, that's easy. Make a decision to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior today." He doesn't point them to anything that they can do to save themselves. Instead, he points them to where they can receive the promise of the salvation won by Jesus, to the waters of holy baptism, where God will wash them clean, forgive all their sins, give them the gift of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and call and gather them into his eternal kingdom. All God's work, all gift, all received passively, not actively gained. That's the gospel. The free gift of salvation delivered by God to those whom he calls and gathers unto himself. Thus, we see here, brothers and sisters, in this inaugural sermon of the Christian church preached by St. Peter, a model put before us for all future Christian preaching. The law must be preached in its full severity, that sinners would be cut to the heart and led to repentance, and the gospel must be preached in its full sweetness, that repentant sinners would be directed to the one who fulfilled that law in their place and suffered and died on the cross to pay for their sins, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is what Holy Spirit-inspired Christian preaching does, my friends. And through the hammer of the law and the healing balm of the gospel, the Holy Spirit does exactly what our Lord promised he would do. He convicts hearers of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Spirit-filled preaching is recognized by the content of what is preached, not by the style or the charisma of the one doing the preaching. Years ago, I had a coworker who always went on and on about how the preacher at his church was anointed by the Holy Spirit and kept insisting that I come and hear him preach. Finally, I made him a deal. I would go to hear his preacher if he would come to my church and hear the gospel. He agreed. So I went with him one Sunday. He belonged to a Church of God of Prophecy congregation, which is Pentecostal. Lord, have mercy. I've never witnessed such chaos in my life. The service began in complete silence. For several minutes, you could hear a pin drop in that place. Then, all of a sudden, the preacher stood up and started shouting and running around the stage up front, jumping up and down and babbling on about the Holy Spirit. At this, the whole congregation stood up and began jumping up and down in place and holding their hands in the air, babbling on about the Holy Spirit as well. Evidently, I was the only person in that place who hadn't been slain by the Spirit. I have no idea what the preacher talked about that day. I know that he kept saying Spirit and anointing and gifts and other things. And every once in a while he did mention Jesus. But a large portion of his preaching that day involved him supposedly speaking in tongues, none of which made any sense or could possibly be understood. But the crowd loved it. Every time the preacher would start speaking in tongues, the people would just go nuts. It's quite a sight to see, that's for sure. After the service, my friend asked me what I thought. I was honest with him. I told him, in the most loving way I could manage, that it was one of the most chaotic things I had ever witnessed, and that I didn't understand any of it. He claimed that this was because I hadn't been baptized in the Spirit. He also made mention of the gift of speaking in tongues on the first Pentecost and claimed that we had just been privileged to witness that miracle play out before us. I told him that I had no idea what we just witnessed, but it wasn't the gift of speaking in tongues given to the apostles on that first Pentecost. For that gift was the miraculous ability to speak in recognizable foreign languages, so that the crowd assembled that day, who had come from many different places and spoke many different languages, could hear and understand with clarity the preaching of the gospel. Anyway, the point is that true Spirit-filled preaching is recognized by the content, not by the style or charisma of the preacher. True Spirit-filled preaching convicts sinners of their sins and directs their attention to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It is not motivational messages or self-help talks, and it's certainly not babbling on in some unrecognizable gibberish made up on the spot by the preacher in the attempt to captivate an audience and convince them that he has some special anointing. Good grief. And in case you're wondering, yes, my friend did keep his end of the bargain and attended my church one Sunday. He didn't like it. Too boring, and way too much emphasis on Jesus instead of the Holy Spirit, as if you can separate the two. Which reminds me of a quote I've been seeing a lot of brother Lutheran pastors posting online this week, which is attributed to the dear Professor Norman Nagel, which says, "Poor Holy Spirit, all he has to talk about is Jesus." Dear friends in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ is faithful to his promises. He promised to come and save us, and he did. He promised to send the Holy Spirit in power upon his apostles, and he did. He promises that the Holy Spirit is present to create and sustain faith wherever the gospel is preached in its purity and the sacraments are administered according to Christ's institution. And he is. He promises to be with us himself in these blessed means of grace, these holy word and sacraments. And he is. And the Holy Spirit gifts us with the faith to believe and confess that truth. Jesus promises us that nothing, not even the gates of hell, shall prevail against his church, and nothing will. For here we are, nearly 2,000 years removed from that first day of Pentecost, still being gathered by the Holy Spirit into Christ's church to receive his gifts. He promises that that's how it will be, until he keeps another promise he makes, that he will return in glory on the last day to bring us into his eternal kingdom. And he will. The Lord is faithful to his promises. Therefore, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. For he has promised that through holy baptism you are his. That through the pronouncement of holy absolution you are forgiven. That by receiving his very body and blood in the Holy Supper, you are washed clean anew in his blood, forgiven of all your sins, strengthened and preserved in the faith. Come and be fed, and then rise and let us go from here in the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, revived and renewed in body and spirit, striving to do better in our service to God and to neighbor, loving one another as eternal brothers and sisters, and always ready to prophesy to others whenever the Holy Spirit gives us opportunity about the mighty deeds that God has done through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Send down, O Lord, the fire of your Spirit, that we may be fed and nourished by your word and sacraments, and be made bold to confess and to live out the truth of your word. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people.
Kindle in us the fire of your love.
Raise up faithful leaders within your church, that those who minister to us the means of grace may be faithful stewards of these mysteries. Bless especially our synodical president, Matthew, our district president, David, our circuit counselor, Paul, and our Thomas, our pastor in Christ. Bless also those who hear your word with your spirit, especially those within our fellowship here at Peace, that they may respond with faith and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people. Guide the nations and those who lead them, especially our own president, governor, and all elected and appointed leaders. Keep them accountable to you and guide them in the paths of justice, freedom, and peace. Protect and defend our armed forces as they work to protect and defend us across the globe, especially Matt Bothman, Stephanie Bridges, Derek Brown, Dustin Majewski, April Rouser, and Dan Whitkin. Come, Holy Spirit, Fill the hearts of your people.
Kindle in us the fire of your love.
Visit the homes of your people and bless husband and wife, parent and child, widowed and single. Give us contentment in whatever vocations into which you have placed us, and help us to love one another with purity and kindness of heart, as you have first loved us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people.
Kindle in us the fire of your love.
O Lord, pour out your Spirit on all your people, that we may give generously, serve faithfully, and act wisely in every circumstance, for the extension of your kingdom and for the glory of your holy name. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people.
Kindle in us the fire of your love.
Show your kindness, O Lord, to everyone who in every need cries out to you. In all our afflictions, grant us patience, healing, and peace according to your will. Bless the sick, the suffering, the grieving, and the dying. Bless especially those who have requested our prayers, including Ralph Bolt, Joan Birch, Connie Cook, Marion Greening, Georgia Spindler, Vivian Strom, Marlene Wiltshire, Dick Weiser, Bruce Bebo, Joyce Kohler, Ella Shaw, Dorothy Weiser, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Eric Lovejoy, Jessica Updegraff, Scott McCollum, Joan Martins, Landon Cole, Connie Glazer, Charles Shaw, Bill Harmon, Christy Truesdell, Margaret Duby, Lyle Duby, Maxine Cole, the family of Mary Gerard, Leona Landshaw Eargood, and Phil Warsaw, that in all their need they may know your sufficient grace. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people.
Kindle in us the fire of your love.
Renew us, O Lord, in body and soul, that through this holy communion we may be united in faith and in will, for the confession of your name to all people, and for the work of your kingdom here and in every corner of the earth. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people.
Kindle in us the fire of your love.
Bring an end to all distractions, that our hearts and minds may be focused upon you. As you come to us in the bread which is your body and the cup of your blood, help us to receive your gifts of grace with faith and to live them out in faithful lives. We return to you our praise and thanksgiving, along with the tithes and offerings we bring, as tokens of our faith and symbols of our trust in you. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people.
Kindle in us the fire of your love.
Into your hands, O Lord, we place ourselves and all those for whom we have prayed. Renew us in faith and inspire our hearts to greatness, that all we do, all we say, and all we are may be for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand, poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this, the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The very 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 body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless and keep you in your baptismal vows all the days of your life. Amen. May the Lord bless and keep you in your baptismal vows all the days of your life. Amen.
Thank you.
very body of Christ given for you. And may the Lord bless and keep you in your baptismal vows for all the days of your life. Amen. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
matchless, holy, and precious, true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Spirit, I use it. Father.